Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 20. Job chapter 20, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Then answered Zophar, the Naamathite, and said, "Therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever, like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, Where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of asps within him. He hath swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of asps. The viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. That which he labored for shall he restore, and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. Because he hath oppressed and hath forsaken the poor, because he hath violently taken away an house which he builded not, surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. In the fullness of his sufficiency he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. When he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him, and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. He shall flee from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. It is drawn and cometh out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. The heavens shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of the wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God." May God add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Well, it seems that Zophar was not entreated by Job. It seems that as Job said to his friends in the last chapter, have pity on me, that he finds no pity at all here from Zophar. Zophar, it seems, describes what he thinks Job's life to be. "Well, Job, you made a mistake, didn't you? You thought that because you were in prosperity, that you were upright. And now, because all of these things have been taken from you, our judgment is that they have been taken from you because truly you were wicked. So that's the beginning part of the chapter. Zophar says, the wicked, they don't continue in prosperity, Job. Oh yeah, just like you have not continued in prosperity. Job, haven't you lost all your substance? Haven't, Job, you lost all your children? As you said here in chapter 19, of course they wouldn't say chapter 19, but as you have said just a moment ago, are not your servants failing to hear you now? Children who would have heard you are now mocking. Your wife says, who are you? Why has this come upon you, Job? Your hypocrisy and your wickedness is being visited on you. So then, you've got what's coming to you, Job. This is essentially what Zophar says. Now, after the last chapter, I mean, we could see it, couldn't we? Perhaps we could see it when they're butting up against each other and fighting against each other, that there might be some stout words that go back. When, you know, as we read in that great literary work, Moby Dick, there's a time when those guys say, our blood is up, we cannot but hunt. We know that when blood comes up, when blood touches blood, things can become violent, even verbally violent. But in the last chapter, Job has pleaded with his friends. He has pleaded with his friends for pity. Why do you pile on what God has already done to me? Do you think you can even add to the afflictions that God has done? And yet, that is what Zophar does here. He is unmoved by Job's cries for pity. Well, when we read the chapter then, we are encouraged to think that we should never be caught in such an attitude toward our erring brethren. We have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a God who promises in Christ to incline His ear when we say, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God. For his part, Zophar has no mercy on Job. He continues to jump up and down upon that flattened soul. So can I encourage us all? Have mercy. Have compassion. Do not take Zophar's example here as a good example. Understand it for what it is. Truly, it is a heartless response to a man crying out for pity and mercy. And I think in chapter 19, quite sincerely, we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let us then, as the elect of God, according to what the apostle says in Ephesians, as the elect of God, have bowels of mercy one toward another. Let us learn from Zophar's bad example here and not follow him. If the Lord sends affliction, which he will if he loves you, and if that affliction is for your sin or for some remedy out of your sin, which it most likely will be, let us also remember that should the Lord train his sights upon us in the same way, we would be under the same or worse affliction as that. And so let your hearts out. Let us let our hearts out one to another when we are in these kinds of afflictions. Not that we've yet suffered like Job has. Certainly that would call upon us even more for mercy. And it does show a peculiar heartlessness in Zophar, does it not? Well, heartlessness does not belong to Christianity. That is indeed the way of the world. Let us have our hearts go out. Not by way of enabling, not by way of presumption, not by way of fostering and furthering and conducting people on in their sins. But let's remember this, that even if someone is suffering on behalf of their sins, that our arms folded and our jaw set does them no good, that suffering is still suffering. And our hearts can yet go out, should yet go out. All right, thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 20. Let's